Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey Podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, Christmas is just a few days away. Are you done with all your shopping?
Dude, I am. You know what? You know what's great?
What, dude?
I'm going to put you on the spot right now and give you a gift for
Christmas. No, God, son of a dude. No. Dude, no. Dude.
I know. Here you go, dude.
Oh, God. You're a piece of crap, dude.
I knew this is going to be the perfect time to do this. When you give someone a gift and they don't reciprocate, and then they feel like hell.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't want it.
What?
Tell
the listeners what you got.
I don't want the Worcester Sharks jersey, dude.
I got you a Worcester Sharks jersey,
dude.
Ha ha.
God.
I love this. I love the mixture of, oh, awesome, I have a Worcester Sharks jersey, and God damn it, I didn't get you anything. It's the best. This is totally worth it. Consider this my gift. Yeah. When I got my Worcester Sharks jersey all those months ago, I had Nicole get you one, too.
You are a great friend and a real jerk.
Yeah.
And that combination makes you.
I could settle for that.
God, dude, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
This is really cool.
Yeah. It's a cool jersey. It's got the special W logo. On other jerseys, they have the old Sharks logo without the orange.
Gee, damn it, dude.
I know. Ha, ha. Ha, ha. Just enjoy it. So now you have your very own Worcester Sharks jersey, dude. And you can root for all of those players in Worcester that I can't name.
Where's the nameplate, dude?
I refuse to accept this. There's no nameplate.
Dude, I'm going to put it on right now.
Okay, good. You do that. And I'm going to have to try and fill this time and hope I get the right size. I'm pretty sure I did, though. It should work. It should be nice and... There you go. See, that fits. That fits good. Yeah, dude. Oh, yeah. The black Worcester Sharks jersey in all of its glory. Yeah. Now you're going to be sweating during the podcast. It's going to make it that much better.
Dude. Thank you.
You're welcome. Merry Christmas, dude.
Dude. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Sharks, dude. What do we say?
Well, dude... when we last recorded, we had lost at home in the shootout to the Islanders, and you correctly predicted that the Sharks would beat Minnesota the next night, which they did, 3-1, and in fairly convincing fashion, even going 3-for-7 on the power play.
Yep.
So things were looking up in that moment, in that game.
That's right.
You felt pretty good about it. And then the Sharks hit the road and lose to a terrible Nashville Predators team.
Right.
In Nashville, making Carter Hutton look like a Vezina candidate.
Yep.
The guy who we waived.
Right.
Who wasn't even good enough
to wear
this Worcester Sharks jersey.
That's true.
And now he's the starting goalie for the Preds because of Rene's injury.
Right.
And he just totally dominated us.
And the Sharks also played like hell in the first period or more. It's just, they were too...
That seems to be a theme.
Yeah. They were at the Blackbird Cafe looking for a Hayden Panettiere or whatever her name is.
They had too much Monell's the night before.
They went to Monell's, had the strawberry lasagna.
So, I mean, if we're going to talk about slow starts, and we can certainly lump... last night's performance into this as well, the 3-2 shootout win against Dallas, where really the Sharks didn't decide to play till the third period.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost too late at that point.
Right.
They get the win. That's a win that I feel terrible about. I don't know. You were there. I'm watching it. I just felt awful. Like, I just was like, you know what? They don't even deserve to win this game.
Yeah.
And the Stars even played half the game without Sergei Gonchar.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sharks
just
still didn't, until the third period, they were like, oh, well, maybe we should get a point out of this.
Okay.
excuse me, and it certainly wasn't, I just belched in the microphone, excuse me, salami sandwich. it certainly wasn't Alex Stalock's fault. I mean, I thought he played pretty well.
Yeah, I thought the first goal wasn't the greatest I've ever seen. I thought he probably should have had that one.
The first one, he was pretty screened.
Yeah, but still a backhand from that range.
And dude, if I may give you some TV perspective, I think that that actually went off Brad Stewart.
Oh, really?
So if I'm remembering right, the first goal, I think it was from far away, and it went off a shark.
Okay.
And it changed direction.
Well, second one definitely went in off somebody, and being there live, I didn't know who exactly it was. Was it off a shark?
Maybe I'm confusing the two. Because
there was one where it was just sort of chucked into the crease from behind the goal line, and then it just banked in off of something.
Right.
That wasn't Stalock's fault. The first goal was like a backhand shot, I thought.
Oh, yeah, no. I think that one was just a goal.
Straight in. That looked straight into me. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so the second goal was off Brad Stewart. That's certainly not Stalock's fault. I thought he played pretty well. It's so fun to watch him play because it is such a contrast from Niemi. He's so much more of an athletic goalie. He comes out, plays the puck a lot more. It's just sort of more exciting to watch him play. That doesn't necessarily mean he's a better goaltender, though, right? I mean, although he did have a good save percentage, we managed to cough up 46 shots to the Stars last night, which is got to be one of the highs of the season. I'm looking over previous. It looks like we gave up 46 shots to Winnipeg of all teams on the 10th of November. And I think that might be tied for the season high in terms of Sharks giving up shots. So they definitely were a little lazy in their own zone.
Oh, they didn't play well the first two periods. They didn't play well.
Yeah.
And Stalock sort of bailed him out. I mean, it could have been a lot worse. And really, the way Niemi's been playing, which is not great.
Yeah.
He's in one of those funks for him. I'm not advocating for Stalock to be the number one.
Right.
But I don't know if we would have won that game last night if Niemi was playing. I think it might have been worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I was encouraged today to read Kevin Kurz's blog where McClellan sort of openly said, Stalock's going to play more.
Good.
And moving forward, he's going to play more. He's earned the right to play more. And, you know, especially with Niemi not playing great right now. I mean, they even left it a little ambiguous as that maybe Stalock might start tomorrow night, which I'd be shocked if that happens. I just don't think that's going to happen. They're going to let Niemi go back-to-back without playing. But maybe Stalock will play in Phoenix.
Yeah.
On the 27th.
Sure.
He needs to play more than 12 games.
Right.
You know?
I know this is something we've talked about many times on the podcast before, and it seems like letting a goalie choose his starting schedule is sort of akin to asking a football player if he has a concussion in the middle of the game. Of course he's going to say no. Of course he's going to want to play. And so to me, it's the coach abdicating his duty a little bit by just asking Niemi, hey, you want to play tonight? And he goes, yeah. And you go, okay, you're playing. I would much rather him say, okay, no, we want to keep you fresh. This team's going to make the playoffs. You're only playing 60 games this year. You're only playing 65 games. I don't want Niemi playing 70 games, 72 games, or whatever it seems to be. You know, there's plenty of other teams in the league that have obvious top shelf number one goaltenders, and the backups play quite a bit. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all.
Well, they say Niemi likes a consistent workload. I don't care.
Great.
I don't care. The Sharks have a capable backup who in a year might be the guy
when
Niemi's priced himself out of San Jose, which is very possible. Even with the cap going up and up, I don't know if Doug Wilson is going to spend $6 million on a goalie. That doesn't seem to really be a recipe for success around the league right now.
But what if Steve Mason is available, dude?
That's what I meant. I don't think he'll spend $6 million on a goalie, dude.
That's how much Steve Mason's going to cost, dude.
What?
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Do it. Down.
All right. So we have one kind of bad win and one kind of bad loss that we've talked about so far.
Yeah, and sandwich in between those is a win in St. Louis and the hurdle incident.
Yes.
In L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with the hurdle incident, because I don't know. We might have differing opinions here. I'm not so sure it was a, you know, I don't think it was a purposeful knee on knee, but I think Dustin Brown dragged his leg on purpose. Let's put it that way. One thing that was interesting is it looked like Dustin Brown was ready to rock Hurdle. You see Hurdle lift his head up. Good for him, finally. Seems like he's had his head down a little bit too much this season. And he prepares himself for the hit. And all of a sudden, Dustin Brown doesn't have the stomach for that hit anymore. And he tries to get away, trails his leg, goes knee on knee, and then Hurdle goes down like a sack of bricks. So did he mean to go knee on knee? I'm going to actually say no, but I certainly think that Dustin Brown meant to make contact with his trailing leg. I don't think that's... I think that's definitely what happened.
So you mean he meant to go ankle on ankle?
I think he meant to, I think he meant to trip him with his foot.
I think if you're intending to make contact with your trailing leg, then you have to assume it might be the worst.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dangerous play. And I mean, I haven't watched it over and over again, but when I saw it, I was pretty disgusted. You know, I mean, I thought it was unnecessary, and I didn't think he had to do that, you know?
No, that's true. I mean, I think he definitely could have avoided that contact.
He could have avoided it, and instead he made knee-on-knee contact. I thought it was really interesting, and, you know, and I totally respect Drew and Randy that they kind of took a very neutral stance on it.
They backed off.
Yeah, they kind of backed off, you know, in terms of, so, you know, maybe I am overreacting, and I still, I mean, again, haven't watched it over and over again to sort of see the play and analyze it. Like I did, I felt like I watched the Torres thing over and over again, but this one I haven't. But either way, what happened is what happened. He's out. We don't know really know what's going on. They say a month. Bob McKenzie's tweeted it could be worse than that, and they're just not saying anything.
Right.
We don't know, but we know we're without him. But this is what I go back to, dude. That happened. The Sharks did nothing.
Right. Nothing.
They did nothing to respond to that. Nothing at all. And it really irritated me. Muzzin boarded Havlat in the third period, and the Sharks did nothing. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Are we back to maybe the more concerning thing? It happened. Brown kneed Hurdle. It happened.
Uh-huh.
Nobody did anything. I'm not saying Wingle should go out and, like, decapitate Mike Richards
right.
and hold his head up and yell, you know...
Give me the cod shell.
Yeah, I know. Not necessary.
Yeah.
But no response, no physical response from the Sharks, nothing to your bright young star, a possible Calder winner, getting run out of the game with an irresponsible play. Does that bother you?
Yes. It bothers me a lot more than that hit, frankly.
I agree. Actually, I totally agree with that. Like, this has been a problem for the Sharks for several years. And I felt like they kind of got past it for a while.
Uh-huh.
But seeing that happen, like, I don't know. We've seen other teams. I mean, I don't know. Sean Thornton would have skated all the way down the ice and, you know, punched Dustin Brown into the ground.
Right.
You know? That
he would have thrown him over the boards. Yeah. And
I'm not saying that should happen, but
saying you should take off your skate and
something should happen. Like,
yeah.
There should be some sort of retribution and a message sent to LA that this is, you know, yeah. Do you own us on your home ice? Yes. You making us look like fools tonight? Yes. But we're not going to take it like laying down. We're not just going to take it. And it was like the Sharks just sort of took it.
Right. Okay.
It happens.
Yeah. No talking.
Happens.
Yeah. Like green.
I was really frustrated by that. And I don't know.
Especially against a division rival, you'd like to see them get up more for those kinds of games. Than I mean, this is not a team that we're not going to see again this year.
This is a team that we have to finish ahead of.
Yeah.
Or our Stanley Cup hopes are done.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
The regular season matters a ton to the Sharks in terms of they have to finish ahead of LA. I don't care if they finish ahead of Anaheim, to be honest. Because I don't think that matters. I'm not afraid of the Ducks. I'm just not. But if we finish third and the Kings are second or first, we're in trouble. Because we can't win there.
Right.
Not right now.
We didn't last year.
We didn't last year, and we can't this year. And on the flip side, they can't win here. So they have to figure out a way to get past LA. And I just don't like, I don't like that they just kind of took that incident. Just like,
yeah,
happened.
Right.
Well, do something. Respond.
Well, Tom has a suggestion, dude. Tom emailed us questions@dudesonhockey.com. He said, this is not a panic email, but I feel like the Sharks need to move. There's no guarantee even when and if Torres comes back, he will be effective or healthy. And after watching the Sharks get kind of pushed around against LA last night, I think this team needs a lot more scoring grit, and I'm calling it. And, man, I got to see if I can find this clip. It's been a while. Here we go.
I'm going after rails on a crazy trade.
All right, to San Jose, Steve Ott, dude. to Buffalo, who cares? That's the question. What do you think it would take to get him, and do you think it would be a good move? Ott is a pending unrestricted free agent, makes around $3 million per year. I was thinking a second-round pick might do it. I realize his scoring has dipped in the last 2 years, but I'm completely convinced that this has everything to do with playing in Buffalo. Yeah, just like everybody else in Buffalo, they suck. Dude, Steve Ott, what do you think?
The idea of this is fun.
Yeah.
The second part, the idea of Torres and Ott being on the same team is hilarious.
That is hilarious.
And I think a lot of, 29 other teams would absolutely hate that. Like, I mean,
yeah, it'd be great for that reason.
I don't think it's possible because I think for what you just said, Tom, he makes $3 million and the Sharks have 1.3 in cap space. Mm-hmm. So in return, the Sharks would have to send a player that's making $2+ million. And I don't know who that is. They certainly aren't going to take Martin Havlat.
Right.
So true. Who do you give them back? I mean, and that's their captain. I mean, this is Ted Nolan's, you know, kind of,
yeah, he's a Ted Nolan kind of guy. That's,
you know,
true.
I don't think that they're going to pull the plug on him that fast. Now, maybe at the deadline. I mean, this is also a team that does not have a general manager right now. Uh-huh. I mean, Pat LaFontaine is the president, but he has almost no managerial experience.
Mm-hmm.
So is he really going to go around throwing some of their valuable players away for second round picks? I don't know.
Yeah.
I like the idea, and I agree. Like I think I said at the beginning of the year, you know, the Sharks need to address their toughness and their depth. And I look at the Kings bottom six and I'm jealous, frankly, you know, of players like Jordan Nolan, of Dwight King, of of Kyle Clifford.
Right.
Right.
You almost said Sean Thornton.
I'm jealous of those. I would love to have one of those guys. Yeah. I think those guys are three good players who know what they're doing in that type of role. And the Sharks don't really have somebody like that.
I think it's almost a duplicate piece. That's the only thing I would worry about the Steve Ott thing. I have no trouble with Steve Ott. He's one of those guys you want on your team if you can. But do we really need Steve Ott and Rafi Torres?
Well, I mean, the thing is, and I think to Tom's point, is we don't even know if Torres is coming back.
Right.
When he does come back, what he'll be able to do, is he going to be a shell of his former self? Like, if you're looking to address the toughness, this addresses it immediately. And if you get Torres back, then they play together for 6 weeks. And then in the off season, you probably don't keep Steve Ott, you know?
Right.
I don't know. I don't feel very hopeful that this team has the ability or the initiative right now to make any moves at all. Like, I think that they're just sort of going to ride it out. I think they're a little hamstrung.
Yeah.
And I don't see Doug Wilson throwing over a lifeboat yet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think he's just going to keep going with what they have. Don't you?
Yeah. And it's kind of frustrating because it certainly seems like, at least right now, it certainly seems like it's not enough. I mean, Havlat looks good one shift and then terrible the next, and that's not what you want to see from a $5 million player.
Well, he's not a he's not a $5 million player. I mean, he's...
And that's what he's getting paid.
I know, but he's not even
yeah.
not even close to that. I mean, he's a million-dollar player.
Two million, yeah.
2 million? Really?
Maybe.
For what?
If he's on the right team in the right situation, I think he's a $2 million player. But on the Sharks, right now, he's not.
Is this a Hanzu situation where he
this
on
could
a,
be.
A different team, yeah. he'd be better?
It
I
could
mean,
be.
Maybe. What does that say about the Sharks?
Right. Like, how many people... So there's all these players out there that can't play well on the Sharks? Is that what we're saying now?
Well, there are some players that don't play well in certain systems or certain teams, and, yeah. and that could be a possibility. Hanzu seemed to thrive playing with the skill guys. I mean, in yeah. Chicago, he was centering Kane, wasn't he? Something like that. I mean, so he played better in top six role there. You know, with Hurdle out, Havlat and Kennedy are going to be the guys that are going to get the first crack at those minutes. Right?
Kennedy was a healthy scratch a couple games ago. What do you think of that?
I don't know. I mean, it's like roulette with McClellan just trying to figure out. I mean, the lines were so scrambled for the first time we saw Brent Burns without Joe Thornton
yep.
last night. Do you remember Brent Burns playing last night? I don't really remember it at all.
Not particularly.
I mean, that didn't seem to go very well. I mean, you know, the Pavelski, Marlowe, Thornton.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We've talked about this before, too. I mean, what's stupider, scrambling everything in like a panic or just sticking with what's worked in the past and just hoping that they can like figure it out?
It seems like they can't find any consistency, which is the broken record line against the Sharks, right? It's something we've talked about for years. And it seems like the swings are even wilder this year than we've seen in the past, where... Again, we see them lose to the Islanders, then they beat Minnesota, then they lose to Nashville, and then they beat St. Louis in their building. It just you put those four games together, it doesn't make any damn sense at all. Like, I just don't get it. So, you know, you want to see the swing sort of even out more in the win column for the Sharks right now, but I see nothing about the way that they're playing that leads me to believe that that's going to change. I mean, let's look at some games coming up here. Colorado. You know, either way. And then Phoenix and then a home and home versus Anaheim, in terms of the next week and a half or so. All those games are winnable and all those games are losable by this team right
sure.
now.
Sure. I mean, if we're going to be glass half empty, I mean, you look at the games that they've been winning, except for you take St. Louis out of the equation, which the wild irony is yeah. that we seem to just own the St. Louis Blues. Like, we've scored 4+ goals against them in every game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've totally neutralized them. We kill them in special teams. Like, we just have dominated them. We've beaten them. Every win we've had is by 2+ goals.
Right.
So, for some reason, we have ownage on the Blues, which I still refuse to buy into. Like, the yeah. season series is over with them. We
right.
swept it 3-0.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, if we draw them in the Western Conference Finals, I will still feel terrible.
For oh, yeah.
some reason,
oh, yeah.
I'll just feel, oh, God. I mean, and maybe they figure that out. But at home, you know, those wins that they had in that home win streak where they played three good teams, you know, they squeaked by on a couple of those. And they're winning some of these, like last night against Dallas in the shootout.
Mm-hmm.
Beating Dallas at home in the shootout, that's not a good win. Like, that's...
No.
Dallas is not good. I mean, they're not terrible. But they're not good.
Right.
They're under 500.
Oh, yeah.
You have to, they're not a non-playoff team. You have to beat them with some sort of a convincing result. And they just haven't been able to do that. But again, dude,
yeah.
we're not going to get too high or too low.
No, we're not.
Like, you can't. Because this team could go win 8 games in a row and it would not shock anybody.
Right. Right.
In but, terms of Tom's email, which made me think of something else, as I went again and looked at the free agent list. So you mentioned Steve Ott being a free agent. There's no question that the two top free agents in terms of skaters, if they go unsigned, will be Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau. There's mm-hmm. no question. I mean, you look at that list, it's not really that close, actually, in terms of who's available and who could have the most impact on another team. I mean, these guys will be 34, 35, but they still are extremely productive, and they are the two highest scoring potential unrestricted free agents. So if you're them and you're continuing to see the storybook in San Jose be written the same, what do you think their mindset is on this?
The thing is, you look at the teams that are in a position to go for the cup, they don't fit anywhere on any of those teams, right? I remember reading it. Actually, I read an article about Philly maybe a week or so ago, and like the Philly beat writer was like, maybe the Flyers will go get Joe Thornton, which is great and all, but is that really a much better position than San Jose? I mean, Philly was at the bottom of their, albeit already crappy, division earlier in the year, and now they managed to scrape themselves back to roughly 500.
Right.
Under 500 with OTLs. But, you know, I mean, look at the class of the league right now. Chicago, St. Louis, I guess Anaheim's, you know, the still the best in the Pacific. Boston. Do these guys fit anywhere in any of those teams? No. There's no room for top centers in any of those teams. Those teams have centers. So you're going to say, okay, so they're going to go to a new situation in another team that, you know, is going to be probably at least as uncertain as the Sharks. So the question I think about those guys is, one, are the Sharks going to be willing to re-sign them and at what cost? And two, do they want to leave San Jose or not? Just period, not... But I don't think there's going to be a chance for them to say, oh, well, I'm just going to catch on with Chicago and then we're going to go win three cups. Because I just don't think that's going to happen. Like, those guys aren't going to be interested in paying a lot of money for guys like that. So that's still a very big question. And as the Sharks continue to be streaky and unreliable, those questions, and Boyle being also unrestricted, those questions get bigger and bigger and more mounting over the course of the season. Because the question becomes, is it even worth it to try and retain those guys?
But the other side of that is, you let them, let's say you let them all go for nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Then there's decimated. There's nothing in that list to replace them.
No, no.
You end up just basically screwed.
Totally.
You're just totally screwed.
Right. So then the question becomes, then you trade them for value, and then that, you know, that's a heartbreaker for Sharks fans and for everybody else, and that just sucks.
Yeah, this unrestricted free agent list is terrible. I mean, right. Like Camilleri, Seto, Mahalik. Hey, we could have like a really crappy ex-Shark reunion. Daniel Winnick.
Daniel Winnick, yeah.
Brad Boyce.
Yeah, we
could. Ray Whitney. They're all here.
They're all here.
Bring them back.
Let's get them all.
Be like an old-timers game. I don't know. I mean, like, I think that's something that I think about as I see the Sharks going up and down. The Sharks are kind of painted into a corner right now,
mm-hmm.
with this roster. Like, this is it. And
yeah, they're stuck.
And they're stuck because they have to keep those guys. They have to keep those guys.
Unless they can get amazing value in return, which you're probably not going to get for 3 months worth of work, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying they should, I don't think they should do anything, and they're not going to do anything. But it's just coming down the pike that, you know, these decisions are looming.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've said, I don't think any of these guys want to leave. They love living here. Their families love it here. San Jose has been consistently a playoff team, a good team, and a great place to play. So, you know, they'll still be here, but you just wonder if the result is ever going to be different.
Right. You just, yeah.
I would love to go back and listen to an episode from 3 years ago, but we're having the same
conversation. It's going to be exactly the same. Dude, I know that we got called out on Twitter about your Carolina prediction where you said you'd eat your microphone if Carolina makes the playoffs. And then what happened?
They were in a playoff spot.
They were?
Temporarily.
Right.
Right. The 14 and 22 Carolina Hurricanes were temporarily in a playoff spot, and now they've been passed by the 15-22 New Jersey Devils in that god-awful, forsaken hellhole of a division, the Metropolitan.
Yeah.
So we were contacted by a Carolina Hurricanes podcast saying that in the playoffs they'd love to have us on, and that we would have to eat our microphones on the air. So I will stand by it. Delicious microphone. I've got my salt and pepper ready.
I think they're going to get passed by the Rangers, too.
Oh, God. Dude, there's no way. Carolina will not make the playoffs.
There's no way.
Terrible. Terrible.
They're minus 18 goal differential. They're not.
Terrible
team.
They're
not good. And their home and road records are the same. They're not even any good at home.
Nope.
Man, that's trouble.
At least you're bad everywhere.
Oh,
that's
mercy.
Consistent, dude.
All right, dude. So what do we want the Sharks to get for Christmas here, other than a backbone and Rafi Torres?
I think I'll go with present number one that you just mentioned, a backbone. Let's go. You know, wake up, guys. You know, you've had some. Is the book out again on the Sharks that they can be pushed around? I mean, they tried to knock Dan Boyle through the glass.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no response there either, really.
Yep, it's true.
No response when the Blues came to town the next game. No response. And I don't care. I don't care what they say. We want to win the game. Sure you do.
And?
But nobody touched LaPierre that game. Mike Brown whispered in his ear something special.
Right.
You know, but nothing happened. Like, and something should have happened. Not an injury.
Yeah.
But. A something.
Not like a, you know, a Todd Bertuzzi ambush from behind.
That's not what I'm asking for. I'm just saying the book on the Sharks used to be that you can push them around. And that's what the Ducks did to the Sharks, 5 years ago when we got beat by that team. And the Sharks just got easily bullied. And is that what's happening now? I don't know.
God, I miss Rafi Torres. I really miss that guy. Yeah, I want him in the lineup. It is impossible for me to believe that something like that could happen and Torres would just skate around and just... Because it wouldn't.
It wouldn't happen.
It would not happen.
And it's the fear factor that if you do something, you know that he will consider doing something back.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And
unfortunately for Rafi Torres' history and for us as fans, it could result in lengthy suspensions depending on how far he wants to go with
it. And that's not what we're talking about here.
Right.
We're talking about, we've seen it so many times with other teams. Like something happens, you know, Lucic runs Miller and then you have to answer for it at the next game.
Yeah.
And he's expecting it. LaPierre was probably disappointed that he didn't have to cower in a corner somewhere, you know, to somebody.
Right.
Like, who is that on this team? Like, who's going to hold the other guys responsible? Who should have answered the bell for Hurdle the other night? Who should that have been, dude?
I mean, Mike Brown is really the only candidate left.
Mike Brown's not necessarily even playing or getting a regular shift.
It's true.
So of the regular guys, who's that person?
I mean, does Wingles got to take it to the next level? I mean, he's been kind of a pain to play against. I mean, does he need to take it to the next level and become that guy?
Maybe.
I guess.
I mean, we've seen him do that in spurts.
Mm-hmm. We see him go and hit lots of guys, and we see him go and be agitating that way, but we don't see him actually drop the gloves. And I'm sure he's had a fight or two in his career, but that's certainly not in his general repertoire.
We know Desjardins will do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to see this continue to happen to the team. And we've had two instances already. And even with the I was upset about the Havlat hit too.
At face value, two catastrophic injuries to Hurdle and Boyle, neither of which was responded to.
Right.
At face value.
Yeah.
Boyle luckily was not seriously injured and got a bad concussion that could keep him out for an extended period of time. Pretty much dodged a bullet there. Clearly knocked out on the ice. Could have been much, much worse than it was. And Hurdle, maybe it is that bad. Maybe, I mean, if he's out a month and people say longer, then we're talking MCL, ACL problems.
Yeah, and that's devastating to the Sharks.
Oh, yeah.
Playoff chances. It's devastating.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Hey, Merry Christmas, dude. God, son of a gun, dude. I can't believe you did this to me.
Well, too bad. You're wearing your Worcester Sharks jersey, dude. Hopefully it makes us both feel a little bit better cheer.
It makes me feel worse, actually.
Okay. Well, I guess that backfired. Oh, well.
No, of course it makes me feel good, dude. And all right. You are a better friend than I am. And everybody who's listening to the podcast knows that. You made me look terrible today, and I appreciate it. I will get you back, dude.
That's what Christmas season's all about, dude.
I'm going to get you back.
It's all about creating.
I will make you feel terrible at another point in time.
I really look forward to that.
It's
sort of. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Dude, Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you in the new year.
New year.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.